I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. While you might be enthralled by the news of the Golden State Killer investigation, another California cold case was recently solved, thanks in part to the writing of a student at the Vermont College of Fine Arts who kept the case in the public eye. Jennifer Kathleen Gibbons is completing her master's in writing and publishing and is graduating this weekend, but her writing has already created quite a stir, as well as relief to many people and law enforcement officers in Antioch, California, an East Bay city of 110,000 people. Jennifer joins us now to talk about the case and her writing. Welcome to Vermont Edition.
Good afternoon, Jane. Thank you for having me.
Could you just very briefly sketch out the details of this case that you're talking about?
Oh, sure. About 5 years ago, it was Holy Saturday. I was visiting my grandparents' grave in Queen of Heaven Cemetery in Lafayette, California. And a man asked me for a pen. And it was very random. And I just told him, well, go to the office. And while he was walking, I was being nosy. And I looked down at the grave, and it was Susie's grave. But you notice right away, she's a stunner. She was beautiful, blonde, just you could tell right away she had the world going for her.
But wait, Jennifer, you have to explain. So this is Susie Bombardier, who was...
I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Suzanne Arlene Bombardier.
Yeah, who was murdered at the age of 14?
14, right.
Yeah, 37 years ago in Antioch, California.
Yes, yes.
Right, so, but you didn't know any of this when you first stumbled across her grave, which had this photo of her in the gravestone, right?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
So you see this woman, this stunner, and because this guy had said, do you have a pen? And so you went to look at the gravestone that he'd been looking at. You know, fair enough, it's a remarkable thing to see a young, beautiful 14-year-old and realize that this person is gone. But what then made you think, I need to keep looking, or this is so intriguing to me that I can't let it go, you know, that this is something I need to take a look at?
Well, the first thing was she died exactly a month before my grandmother died. My grandmother died of lung cancer in 1980, and Susie disappeared a month before she died. So that's what struck me first. And it wasn't until I visited the grave again about 6 months later. That time I had my phone, so I just Googled her name, and then I found out the circumstances of her death. She had been babysitting her nieces, and then she just disappeared in the night. And then I found out they found her body in the Delta, and I just knew this was a story I had to write about. I just knew it.
So first, though, you tried to get journalists to write about it, right?
Yeah.
And you thought, this is a really good story, but I'm not a reporter. This should be done with a journalist's keen eye, and nobody would take you up on it.
Well, it's not that they didn't want to. I mean, they wanted to. You have to understand, journalism, unfortunately, you have to go where the action is, and sometimes if a story is sexy or not. And this story was not sexy. There was no new developments. And I realized, if anything was going to be done, I had to do it, and I just knew it. It was like what I always love this quote by Anne Lamott, you know, you have to start badly, but you have to start.
So what did you write about?
Well, I started off with a blog for the website I was working on, and it was just called The Lost Girl, and it was just one of many blogs I was writing. And then I wrote about it for a website that's called defrostingcoldcases.com. That's an amazing website. And a woman who runs it, Alice, does great work. And that got attention. And then it started getting attention with local newspapers like San Francisco Chronicle, Contra Costa Times. And then I pitched it to Salon. And at first, it didn't go well. She said, I don't take pictures, just send me the story. And I was nervous, and I thought, okay, I have nothing to lose now. And I sent her the essay, and she said, this is amazing. We'd like to publish it. And I was on cloud nine.
So you have helped to keep this case, which is a cold case, in the public eye. And fairly recently, a suspect was arrested in this case.
Yes.
What can you tell me about that?
What I can tell you is Mitchell Lynn Bacon, from what I've heard from the police and from news reports, he dated Susie's sister. She wasn't interested in him, and this was his way of getting revenge. If you want a poster boy for, like, three strikes, you're out. He would be it. He was a registered sex offender. He served 6 months after Susie died. He was arrested for a rape. He also served time for not registering as a sex offender. And to be really honest, although I am so grateful beyond belief that they caught him, I hate dwelling on him because I feel like Susie's the star of this story. She's supposed to be the center, not him. She should be the center. What all I could tell you is he has pled not guilty and he's waived his wife to a speedy trial. And so it's all over but the waiting right now.
Hmm. So this writing that you started doing because you were intrigued and has really kept it in the public eye and kept attention on the case is also turned into writing that you're doing as part of your MFA at VCFA, right?
Yes, it's my thesis turned in yesterday. It is about 130 pages so far, and I'm going to continue working on it throughout the summer.
You know, Jennifer, there's a lot of interest in cases like this mm-hmm. and in the writing that people can do from Serial to Michelle McNamara's work with the Golden State Killer. What role do you think people like you who are not investigators necessarily, you know, Michelle did a lot of investigating, but who are just sort of highlighting and keeping in the public interest these cases, what's the role of people like you in these cases?
Well, I wish Ms. McNamara could have seen what she did. She did a wonderful work, and I wish she could have seen it. The second thing is, like I said before, start badly, but start. If there is a cold case in your neighborhood or when you were growing up, research. Do research. Go to newspapers.com. I am finding that's a great resource. Or go find microfilm in the library. And just try to find out about the person. Try to find connections. Keep their name out there in the public eye and try to create a digital fingerprint for the person. Yeah.
And then, you know, do you ever face people who say you're sort of profiting? You know, if you make a book about this, you're profiting on the horror that one family felt. Or, you know, are you doing something that's valuable?
You know, I've been really lucky. Nobody has said that to me. I felt a little guilty, but that's Catholic guilt there. But nobody's ever said that to me. It just feels like this is my story as well. You have to understand, when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, about 13 or 14 children went missing in the Bay Area. Kevin Collins and a bunch of girls. Yeah. And I feel like I'm doing my duty. I survived it. And I'm doing my duty for the lost children who didn't come home.
Hmm. Well, Jennifer Kathleen Gibbons is graduating this weekend with an MFA from the Vermont College of Fine Arts. Thank you for telling us about your writing and about this story that has so captivated your imagination and the imagination of so many others.
Thank you.